Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. My name is Jane Campbell. I'm going to be reading Genesis 1, 26 through 2, verse 4. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Thank you, Jane. May God bless the reading of his word. How many of you right now, not by a show of hands, feel tired? Just blink if you feel tired, right? But you got to open up your eyes again. I don't want you to just fall asleep on me here. Yeah, we live in a culture that seems to be perpetually tired, exhausted. We actually wear our busyness often as a badge of honor, don't we? We say we get to keep going. We're going to keep filling our calendars. We're going to answer one more email. We'll watch one more television show. We'll scroll a little bit longer. Many of us, we feel overwhelmed. And most of us, a lot of us, we don't like work, right? We complain about work. Some of us might actually hate our job. And we're constantly tired. So tired that a nap won't fix it. That a day off won't fix it, that a vacation, it doesn't fix it. As Loverboy in the 80s famously said, everybody's working for the weekend, right? Corrie Ten Boom has a quote that you probably have heard before. If the devil cannot make you sin, he'll make you busy. The devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this first three chapters in the book of Genesis, what we see as our origin story, the origin of all creation, including us. We saw last week that God actually created us in his image. And we've been looking at this first three chapters of Genesis because it's important, because it shapes our worldview. Remember, our worldview is how we see God, ourselves, others, and the world. It's the lens we look through for how we interact in our world, what we think about our life. And this morning, we're going to see what we think about our work and also what we think about rest. So last week, again, we saw that we were made in the image of God. I've heard some great things from you guys about this series, that diving through these first couple chapters has been both enlightening and challenging. And while this week might not step on as many toes as the past weeks have, I think that we in our American culture especially have just an unhealthy relationship with both work and rest. We saw last week that we were created in the image of God, and what that meant was that we're not an accident, that we are not a mistake, that you are intentionally designed, and that you are an image bearer. And as an image bearer, you reflect what God is like. And so that means we need to pay attention to what God is like. And he wants us to be clear in understanding this. So he gives us an example. Right after he tells us that he's made us in his image, he shows us what he does and invites us to follow along with him. We should pay attention to what God does after he creates us, because it shows us a glimpse of what he expects of us as his image bearers. We've said that as the Israelites would have first heard this creation account, it would have been revolutionary for them. There's so many things that they would have heard from the pagan cultures around them that this creation story of God creating out of nothing and for his glory and for his purposes and then creating us humans in his image would have rocked their world, because all they had heard before that was that they were a mistake, that they were an accident, or that God, the gods, created them in order to serve them in menial tasks. In most of the creation stories that people had heard up to this point, the pagan gods created humans to serve and be their slaves so that the gods could rest. And God, Jehovah, does something different here. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them. The first thing God does after he creates men and women, is to bless them. And how does he bless them? By saying, just live a life of leisure. No, what does he say? He says, be fruitful and increase in number. Now, we're not going to talk so much about that. That is a blessing, right? Call us to populate the earth, to make more image bearers. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. And we think this word subdue, we think of that in a negative form, like to seize control over and push down. That's not what this means here. Subdue is a positive thing. It means to take care of, to guard, to rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. See, before mankind does anything, does any of this, before he proves his worth, God blesses us. Before we did the work, God blesses us. And here's one of the things I want us to see this morning that might not be a shock for you, but for some of you, it might come as a surprise. Work is a blessing. Work is a blessing given by God. It reflects his character. What has he been doing in creation? Yet, but working. And he calls us, he commands us to do the same thing. We are created and commanded to work. We are created to work. This is what's often called, theologians call this the cultural mandate. To be fruitful and multiply, to rule over the earth. Not with an iron fist, but with open hands and a loving heart. And this should impact everything from the way we treat others to the way we recycle, to the way we take care of the earth, the way we care about our community. See, before mankind ever did anything to deserve it, before we'd ever worked a day, God blessed us. He said, fill the earth, rule it, care for it. A couple verses later in Genesis 2:15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. We're going to talk more about the garden in coming weeks. What did he do? Why did he put them there? To work it and to take care of it. This word work is a Hebrew word, abad. And it means to cultivate, to grow, and to take care for. It means to guard, to look over this. He's entrusted it as a resource to us, our work, our world. This is why we work. Not because it's punishment. It's to create and reflect the image of God. See, work existed before sin. All of this is pre-chapter 3, right? We're going to talk about chapter 3 in the next coming weeks of what happened, what went wrong. But God did not originally intend for work to be a burden. Work was created as a blessing, which means work is not a punishment. It sometimes feels that way, right? Like it's a punishment. I've got to go to work today. Or kids, my mom's making me unload the dishwasher or clean my room. Got to do my chores. It's not punishment. If we're doing our work just for a paycheck, that's because of sin. Now, not necessarily yours. I'm not saying that that's your sin that caused that, but the fall made us work with a feeling that we're just doing it for a paycheck. We hate this. It's hard. It's difficult. See, we're going to see the after effects of sin and its effect on work in the next chapter. But God did not intend for it to be that way. God gave us work not as a curse, but for us to understand that it's a blessing. Now, I know that we in our American culture especially have a hard time with that word work. It's become distorted. It's in many ways become an idol for us. Our identity is wrapped up in our work, but our identity is supposed to be, as we saw last week, in the image of God. So I want us to maybe substitute a different word when we're thinking about this for work. There's nothing wrong with the word work, but let's think about it this way. Work is our responsibilities, what God has entrusted to us. Now, that might be the job that you get paid for, but it might be something else too. The work that he's called you to do in your family, the work that he's called you to do in your community, the work that he's called you to do here in your church. It's a responsibility. God gave us responsibility out of love to mirror and reflect who he is, to reflect the image of him, a God who created everything out of nothing, as we've seen the last few weeks. And while you and I might not create everything out of nothing, he gave us work, a responsibility to cultivate and care for our world. And God invites us to join him in that work. See, God rested from his creating so that you and I could enter into it. He rested from creating so that you and I could bear his image on this earth, to be his light to this world, that the world and everyone in it could see a glimpse of who God is through the work that you and I do. That's why scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. I love this, God's building. This isn't God's building. We are God's building. Now, I know that we say we're going to the house of the Lord, or we're coming to church, and that's fine, but this is not where God lives. God lives in here and in you. And we are created to be co-workers for God's service. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now you might say, Stephen, that's easy for you to say. You're a pastor. My work is to read the Bible and pray and write a lesson, right? You say, I have a secular job. I don't get to look at my work that way. If you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this. You can see it up here on the screen. There is no secular work. There is no secular work. There is only sinful and sacred work. You can do work that is sinful. And maybe for some of us, you have been in seasons where you have done work that is working against God. And we can think of dramatic things, right? Illegal things that we might do for our job, or to ways to make money that are sinful. But your job, it's not a secular job. It's either a sinful job or a sacred job. There is no secular work. Only sinful and sacred. If you're a teacher, your work is sacred in that you shape and you show patience to students who don't always come ready to learn, right? If you're a student, your work is sacred when you show up, when you do your best, even on the subjects you don't enjoy, even on the ones that are difficult for you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, your work is sacred as you change diapers, as you pack lunches, as you drive kids to school, as you give advice, when you pray, when no one sees for your children or your grandchildren. If you're a healthcare worker, your work is sacred every time you bring care and dignity and compassion into someone's hardest moments. If you work in construction or a factory, your work is sacred as you build and assemble things that help us to thrive as a community. If you're in management, your work is sacred as you lead people with integrity and discipline and make hard decisions. If you work in retail or fast food or the food service. Your work is sacred every time you serve someone with kindness, even when they're not being kind to you. If you work behind a screen all day, your work is sacred when you create and solve problems and help the world function, even if it's behind the scenes. And if you're retired, your work is still sacred. As you invest your wisdom, as you encourage others, as you serve and remain present in the lives that God has placed you in, here in this church, in your community, your paid gig might be over, but your work is not done. If you're unemployed or between jobs, you are in sacred work as you prepare for what God has for you next and as you trust him in the waiting. So I want to encourage you, look for ways to make your work sacred. If it's not sinful, it can be sacred, no matter what it is. It's what God has called you and I to do. It really is an act of worship. One of our core four we have up on the wall out here is to worship. Worship, grow, serve, and go. And oftentimes we think of worship as, well, I did. I fulfilled that one. I came in here on Sunday and I sang some songs and I prayed and I took communion and then I went home. That is worship. But worship is also what you're going to do tomorrow morning. When you wake up and hit that alarm and get up and head to work or head to school, head to the office, head to the factory, you are entering sacred work of worship. See, worship is doing real work, stewarding it for God. It's tending, cultivating what God has entrusted to you. So God gave us work. Work is a blessing. But then we see what he does next to show us his image. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Do you notice what the very first thing that God made holy was? Time. Time was the very first thing that God made holy. He rests. It's this feeling almost like, he looks at his creation. He rests. He enjoys the fruit of his work. Because rest is part of the process of work. These two things are connected together, work and rest. It's a rhythm that God wants us to see. Now, God does not need to rest, right? It wasn't like God created the heavens and the earth and man and women and the seas and the stars and all that, and he was tired. He was worn out. That's not what it is. It's to help us see, again, part of who he is in this, set up a rhythm for us. God does not need to rest, but God does rest because the work is complete. And God rests first and invites humanity into his rhythm. Adam's first full day on earth, the seventh day, he saw God resting. He saw that image as God saying, in a way, reflect who I am. Work, but rest. He's showing us a rhythm of living as the image of God. So we're created to work, but we're also created to rest. We're created to rest. Why? Why should we rest? Couldn't God have made us like himself in the way that we never got tired? We never got worn out? There was no need for rest? He could have. I think there's a reason that we need to rest. It's so we don't overvalue our work. Because you are not your work. See, oftentimes we don't rest out of fear. Fear of not measuring up. Fear of not being enough. Or maybe the opposite. We won't rest because we think we are enough. We're too full of ourselves. Both are symptoms of pride. See, work can become an idol. Now, you might have heard this before. I've heard this by different human resource trainers and different things that they'll say this statement that your boss will replace you in hours, days, or maybe if you're lucky, weeks, right? All of us are replaceable. And some of you might say the nicest things about me, but you're going to replace me sometime too. We should never idolize our work so much that it becomes who we are. Our work can become an idol. Eugene Peterson had this amazing quote. He says, if we don't regularly quit work one day a week, we take ourselves far too seriously. The moral sweat pouring off our brow blinds us to the primal actions of God in and around us. In other words, when we're working so hard and we don't stop, we think it's about us. Something happens when we never stop. We believe that the world will only move forward if we keep pushing it. And rest reminds us that we are not the savior. We're not the provider. We're not the finisher. God is. See, rest reorients our relationship with God. Rest puts God back in his rightful place and us in ours. Rest puts God back in his rightful place and us in ours. It reminds us that we are dependent on him, that we want to be dependent on him. Now, later with the Israelite people, God established the Sabbath day. We're not going to go into details about that this morning, but the Sabbath day was established as a law so that people would recognize this very truth, that they would see where their rightful place was, not in a way like get in your place, but they would recognize their dependence on God. We're called to work and rest, and during that rest, we were called to seek God, to depend on him. See, when we overvalue our work, we make it about us instead of reflecting the image of God. We make it about our worth or our comfort, our vacations, our cars, our houses. We make our work an idol. And our identity and our value get wrapped up in work instead of the image of God. Now, there are often times where I'm called to preach or teach on something that I have no business speaking about, and this is one of them. I have wrestled off and on. I've talked a little about this before. I've had seasons where it's been okay and seasons where it's been horrible, where I've made work an idol, even working at a church. And I don't say this to say, I've worked so hard, you should be impressed by me, because the problem is a lot of our work is not productive, right? A lot of times that we say we're working, we might just be being lazy, or we might not actually be working at the right things, but our working can become our identity. It drives us. And there have been seasons where I've neglected all of the things that God has actually called me to cultivate because of work. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Work is important. Work is a command. Work is a blessing. But it's not who we are. And even more so than work, I struggle with rest. Because see, rest isn't just taking some time off. Resting is resting in Christ, resting in God. And it reorients our relationship with God. It puts God in his rightful place and us in ours. Here's what God has been showing me. That because I'm busy doesn't mean I'm always faithful. And work doesn't always mean that you're productive. Because work isn't just activity. Real work is tending to what God has entrusted you to do. And if I'm honest, there are seasons in my life, like I think there are seasons in yours, where we're not tending the things that God has called us to. We're not tending the things that matter most. I can be physically present and mentally elsewhere. I can be working hard, but avoiding, once again, the responsibility. That's what work really is. I can call it productivity when really it's just a distraction. Not just in jobs, right? We do this in all of the work that God has called us to do. I was trying to think of a great definition for us to understand what rest is, and this is the best I could come up with. Rest is intentionally stopping what drains and distracts us and starting what forms and fills us in Christ. This phrase, forms and fills, we've seen this in the creation account. That's what God was doing as he created the heavens and the earth. As he created everything, he was forming it and filling it, shaping it to reflect, ultimately, when he created us, his image, right? And I think that's what rest is for us. It's intentionally stopping what drains and distracts us, and not just being idle, right? Work can be an idol. We can also just be idle, you know, do nothing. I think what rest really is starting what forms and fills us in Christ. That's not work. That is rest, resting in him. I included this word distractions for a reason, because sometimes we're not actually resting, right? We're just numbing. We're scrolling, or we're clicking, or we're staying busy so that we don't have to be still and actually rest in who God is. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you really resting? I don't mean are you taking a day off or 2 days off or whatever it is for you, or a day every couple weeks. That's not really the point. Are you really resting? Or are you just taking breaks from work while staying disconnected from God? See, most of us, we treat ourselves, our bodies, or we don't treat ourselves really like we treat our phones. I left my phone back there, but everybody's got a phone, right? And what happens when we have this phone, I know this happens in our house all the time, is we have these little battery packs that we carry around with us. We make sure we have a cord in the car and a cord at our desk and a cord in our purse and wherever it might be, because when it gets down to 3%, we panic, right? We freak out. It's how we treat our phone. We don't wait until it's completely dead to plug it in. Actually, if, just in case you don't know, we'll give you a tech, that's actually bad for your battery, okay? Try to get down to zero. And the same applies to us. We charge our phone on purpose. We plug it in overnight. We top it off during the day. Because if we don't, we know that eventually it won't function the way it was supposed to. And that's how a lot of us live. We don't rest intentionally. We just collapse when we run out of battery. But God didn't design us to run on empty. He designed us. Part of the rhythm that he set up from the creation of the universe was for us to recharge regularly. See, we don't rest for, or we don't work for rest. We work from rest. It's a subtle difference. We don't work so that we can then rest. We work from rest. It's the rest of God that allows us to do the work that he has called us to do. Rest isn't what you do when you're exhausted. Rest is what keeps you from being exhausted. Rest is stopping what drains us and starting what forms and fills us in Christ. See, the fall that we're going to talk about later, sin, when sin enters the picture, it doesn't erase God's command to work. It just makes it different and sometimes more difficult than God intended. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What would change if you worked from rest instead of collapsing into it? How would your life be different? How would your relationships be different? How would your boss experience you? How would your spouse experience you? How would your kids feel about things if you worked from rest instead of collapsing into it? Work is a gift. Rest is also a gift. They work together. I want us to see how in this video.
Work is a gift. A sacred invitation to all God's children. A way to join with our Creator in building his world and connect the God-given passions of our hearts to the movement of our hands. Work is a calling. a charge given to all who are able, a participation with Christ in governing creation, while infusing God's love and peace into the world through our talents. But valuable as it is, work cannot be endless. Tireless striving cannot last, and those who persist will inevitably fall to exhaustion. So God, in His wisdom, showed us a better way, His own way, to step back, take a breath, and rest. Rest is a gift, a necessary rhythm for all who toil, a holy interruption to the sweat of one's brow, where we pause and reconnect with the heartbeat of our Father. Rest is a calling, a command to release our need for control, an admission that God is our true provider, and His world will continue to turn even as we sleep. So rest, beloved, and know that the work will continue. Tomorrow, our labor will carry on, and the task at hand will be completed in due time. But for now, embrace His blessing and rest.
Work is sacred, and rest is holy. As we close our time this morning, we're going to share in communion in just a moment. So if you've got your communion elements, I encourage you to get those out. If you don't, there's some in the back table here. You can get up and get them while I'm continuing on here. But in a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a few moments to reflect. The ladies are going to come up and they're going to sing a song over us. It's a song that might be familiar to you, at least the tune. It's the old hymn, Be Thou My Vision. But a man named San Hargraves rewrote this hymn with words based on what we just talked about. I want to share them with you this morning. Lord, may our resting be worship to you, to lay down our labor and give you your due. To walk by still waters where souls are restored, to turn from our striving and trust you are Lord. Give us the strength to switch off and unplug, releasing distractions that grip like a drug, embracing the fullness of life beyond screens, to be in the moment, to breathe, and to dream. May our inaction bring freedom and praise, resisting the powers that keep us enslaved. We're precious, not measured by the work we have done, not human resources, but daughters and sons. May this, your Sabbath, be worship divine, a temple of peace, a cathedral of time. For whether a minute, an hour, or a day, you hallow the moments that we rest in your name. Are you working and resting in his name? Are you working and resting in his name? Or is your work just means to an end? Is your rest something you have to do so you have energy to go do it again? Our work is sacred. Our rest is holy. And I understand that there are those of us in this room who don't feel that way. We might hate what we do for our job. But I want to encourage you, look for ways to make it sacred. To let that be part of what God has called you to do in and for this world. For some, it's more difficult than others, but there are always ways to make your work sacred. Are you working and resting, though, in His name? See, the God who finished creation, who honors our work, and who promises rest is the same God that's still working in us. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. The work of you, of forming and filling you into who God created you to be will one day be finished. God is doing that work. Now, this is maybe a rabbit trail to go down, but I want to make sure we understand that this doesn't mean that in eternity, once God forms us and fills us into who he intended us to be, that we will no longer work. The reality is that eternity will include work because Eden included work. But it will be a blessing. The burden and the distractions and the difficulties of work that came because of the fall will be erased. And we will be working for our God. And it will be a blessing. But till then, God is still finishing his work within us. Remember that quote I read earlier from Corrie Ten Boom about busyness? I saw this acronym for busy. I don't know who wrote it, but that busy actually stands for we're busy under Satan's yoke. That if you just feel busy, overwhelmed, rushed in life, that's not God. You're not leaning into the work and the rest that God provides. We're being burdened by Satan's yoke. Hebrews 4, 9 through 10 says, there is a special rest, a Sabbath rest, still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world. Now, this Sabbath rest is not just talking about a day. It's talking about a person. And Jesus comes and crushes that busy acronym when he says this in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, not the yoke of busyness, not Satan's yoke, but take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what you and I really want, isn't it? Not just a vacation, although that'd be nice. Not just a day off. We want rest for our souls. And that is possible not because of the work that you and I have done or are doing or trying to do, but because of the work that Jesus did. He finishes the work. See, God rested on the seventh day because creation was complete, but Jesus cried, "It is finished," because redemption was complete. He was able to make you who he created you to be. So today we come to communion, not because we've worked hard enough to deserve this, right? To deserve the body and the blood of Jesus, to deserve his sacrifice. What did God do before we ever did anything? He blessed us. And this is a reminder of that. That this is not something that we have done. This does not represent your body that was given because of all the hard work you've done. This doesn't represent your blood that was spilled because of all the things you did to make the world better. This is about Jesus and what he has done, and reminding us of our rightful place in that creation order. Reminding us that, yes, work is sacred and rest is holy, but it's not about us. It's about what he has done, what he is doing in each and every one of us. And so I want to invite you, as this song pours over you, to take a moment in the quietness of your own heart, and take these elements when you feel ready to do that during this song. You take the body that reminds you that his body did the work so that you could rest in him. You take the cup that reminds us of his blood that was given so that you could rest in him, the finished work of Jesus. Is everything we're doing work and rest? Is it being done in his name? So I invite you, I'm going to pray for us, and then during this song, take communion as you feel led, and I'll come up and close us out. God, I ask this morning that, first, I just thank you. I thank you for blessing us before we ever did anything to deserve it, before we ever earned it, Lord, because we can't. Lord, I thank you for our work, even the way it's difficult for many of us at times. We thank you that you gave us this as a blessing to help us to see who you are, to reflect who you are, that we might be agents of creation in this world. God, unlike the pagan gods that said, these humans are there to serve me and do my grunt work so I can rest, Lord, you empowered us in your image to be able to create and do work. So Lord, help us to recognize that that work is sacred. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have maybe engaged in sinful work. Or Lord, maybe we've taken the everyday, what we just say, a secular work and forgotten that it can be holy and sacred for you. God, help each and every one of us to lean into the rest that you provide for us. That we would take a moment, even right now as we start off this week, Lord, to just breathe in. Say it is good. The world you've given us, Lord, is very good. The lives you've given us, even with their difficulties and distractions, are good. And Lord, we rest knowing that you have done the work that we could never do to bring us back to you and to give us life with you eternal. So Lord, may the distractions and the difficulties, may we lay them at your feet and accept your rest. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you take the bread and the cup, let this be your first act of rest this week.